So this is session 17 of the Identify Your Ideal Career Path Coaching Group. Today is July 9th, and so far we have Michael and Stacy on the call, and today's call is about getting support, creating your dream team for your career transition so that you can make it happen effectively and successfully, and creating and implementing your job search plan, okay? So let's wait just another second here and see if we've got anybody else or if they're off busy implementing their plan, perhaps. Stacy, how are you?
Good. I've been good.
Any updates on job stuff?
I've definitely started to look around and got another here.
No, go ahead, Stacy.
Okay. I just started looking around and I've applied to, like, two jobs, and, you know, I haven't heard anything back from either of them, you know. So I know that it's a numbers game, but it is sort of disheartening a little bit, you know, when you there's a job of interest to you and you send something out and then you never hear anything back. And
yeah, it's the black hole.
The black hole, exactly.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit today, about follow-up strategy and that kind of thing, too. All right, and so there was another beep. Who else has joined us?
This is Angie.
Hi, Angie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. All right. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started with our small contingency today. And so the homework that we talked about last time was starting on your action plan, the short and long term. And what I suggested for you guys is have a short-term plan for 3 months, and then a longer-term plan for the end of the year. And, you know, when you think about long-term planning, it can go well past the year, but I think that that's good for you guys for the moment to be thinking about your career transition. And then beyond that, you know, you can make plans every 3 months, you know, every quarter, whatever works best for you. So that was one homework assignment. And the second one was thinking about the judges in your life, those people that tend to throw you off balance or off track, who are not as supportive as you would like of your career transition and your dream, okay? So let's go with successes, learning, and challenges first on the homework or anything else that you guys need help with. And then our agenda for today is to review the action plan, see if you guys need any help with those steps. Also talk about job search strategy and implementation, and getting support for your transition, during your transition. Okay, so I heard another beep, but it could have been somebody going on mute. Did anyone else join us? Okay, so it's probably someone who went on mute. So unmute yourself if you have a success, learning, or challenge. So really quick, Michael, last time we talked about your girlfriend not being as supportive of your dreams as you would like. Did you get to talk to her?
I'm working up to that situation.
Okay. So
working up to that situation, because right now it's in the air of, like, you know, finding a job to bring stability.
Okay.
You know, a little bit more money.
Yep.
So right now it's just trying to find that stability. A career that will bring that stability for right now.
Right.
That will ease some of the pain for the prior moments.
Gotcha. Okay, so for the moment it's getting more stable and bringing some money in, and then talking to her more about the dream and where you want to go.
When I get an idea of something starting to pan out.
Got it. Okay, that's fair. I think that's a good plan. And, Angie, how about you? Because you had talked about your mom. So did you get to talk to your mom, or are you just going to kind of let things play out, and if you do?
What I decided that I just probably wouldn't talk to her about the transitional part.
Okay.
And then if I get to a place where I have a different job, then I can be excited about that.
Okay. So just wait until you have a little bit better news for her. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Something that's probably a little more certain that she can see the concrete attached to that versus just this idea of changing careers.
Okay, perfect. Good. I think that's a great idea. Stacey, did you get a chance to listen to the audio from last time?
I did, yes.
Okay, so do you have any questions about handling the judges and what that means?
No, not really.
You're good. Okay.
Yep, good.
All right, so successes, learning, and challenges. Anybody have anything there? Anything that they're burning to share or challenges they have questions about?
Probably, this is Stacey. I do, if it's relevant to what our homework assignment was as far as setting goals, because I feel like I've been doing a lot of those things, sending out resumes. I've been going to a bunch of networking events. But it just kind of gets old and tiresome, especially some of these networking events that you go to where they just don't really end up in anything, and you just get kind of tired of going to them. And I honestly couldn't really think of that many more future goals except to just keep shooting out my resume.
Okay. So I'm really glad you brought this up, because this is one of the things we're really going to dive into today about other things that you can do. So number one, we'll talk about other action steps that you can take besides those things as well. But that first thing that you said, too, I think is so true, and it's a problem for everybody that it gets old. And it's harder when the economy is the way it is, because you don't get the response, you know, that you might like. I mean, it's harder to. There's more people applying for jobs, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? Job searching is not fun. It just isn't fun for anybody, really. I don't think I've found anybody who is like, yay, this is going to be so exciting. So there's an element here, I think, of, let me throw out some ideas, Stacey, and see what you latch on to. And this goes for everybody, because anybody can get burnt out on doing this. One of the things to do is to try to identify for yourself the strategies or tactics that make you the most excited, that you like the best. Okay, so one thing to do is think about, what do you like? So, like, some people can't stand networking events. You need to do them to a certain extent, but maybe that's not the majority of what you do. Maybe you do more informational interviews. Maybe you do more, you know, online networking. Maybe you do more volunteer work, which is networking, but it's not in the traditional, I'm going to go hand out my business card type of thing. So try to think for yourself of, you know, what are the tactics that you have the most energy around?
Mm-hmm. I have a question in regards to the informational interviews, because previously when we talked about it in our program, it was just to learn more about that particular career and see if maybe that's a career that you're interested in. At least that's kind of how I felt that we were approaching informational interviews.
Yes.
But now as we're looking for specific careers, I wonder if maybe that is a tactic, you know, say that there was a company that I just sent my resume off to that I never knew existed, and it's like up in Norcross, Georgia. And, you know, I sent my resume off to them. I didn't hear anything back. You know, is it something that maybe in a few weeks I can send an email out to somebody that works there just saying I'd like to do an informational interview with their company?
Yeah, so it's sort of a weird situation when you've actually applied, you know, mm-hmm. to then ask for the informational interview. I think it's okay to do it. And, you know, to let them know that you have applied, to kind of, you know, be upfront about it. But say, in the meantime, you know, while I'm waiting to hear back, I really wanted to hear more about the company. And the person at the, you know, the receiving end here, if it's not appropriate for them to do that, if HR would, you know what I mean, like, then it's up to them to say no. But when you're going into informational interviews, whatever phase you're in the process, it should be to learn information, and it can also be to find leads for jobs, though, too. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I just don't want people to go into informational interviews saying, well, I'm looking for a job.
Right.
Because then that's not going to work. That's going to turn the other person off.
Right.
So do think about it as both, and I would go ahead and use it as a strategy. As one way to follow up.
Mm-hmm. Because I also wrote down a list of other companies that at least just had an international marketing presence. yep. that weren't necessarily, hadn't posted anything, there are any openings currently at their company.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that would be a good tactic to see if I can meet with someone and then you know who they are and they know who you are and, you know, if there is an opening that, it just seems like that might be a better tactic than to just send your resume out to that black hole. Just, I don't like that at all.
No. It is much better to do that too. I would talk to as many people as you can and get informational interviews with those people because it is, I mean, this is a form of networking. And when, you know, you've met with them and what if they say, well, actually, you know, we haven't posted a job, but there's somebody here who might be leaving or, you know, we actually do need more help. You know, it's this concept of that hidden job market where so many jobs are not even advertised. And this is why informational interviews can be so helpful. You specifically got excited when you've done some of these other ones, Stacey, so I think this is a big one for you to pursue. So this would be one of the tactics. So go ahead and go to some networking events. I mean, at least do some, but I would focus more of your efforts on the informational interviews as well as applying for jobs because I think – and I'd like to hear what you guys think about this, too. How do you keep the motivation and the momentum during a job search? What are your ideas? What would you guys say?
Strong cocktail?
A strong cocktail. That's one. Let's put it down.
I just keep on telling myself, just keep on telling myself to keep on keeping on.
Okay, so some self-talk, a pep talk.
Yeah.
Okay, motivating yourself. Sometimes I think part of what can help that is taking a bit of a break. If you are so sick of doing this stuff, give yourself a week off and don't do it. Give yourself a break so that you can recharge and refresh a little bit if you need to do that, okay? Any other ideas? Ways to stay motivated in this. I think the last thing I would say is make sure that you're taking care of yourself in other areas of your life, too, and you're doing things that are fun, like going out with friends, whatever it is, so that you keep yourself kind of, it's the all boats rise with the tide idea, where if you're feeling better in one area of your life, you know, and you go do something that's enjoyable and fun for you, it bleeds into the other areas. So you'll feel a little bit better about, okay, job searching because you just had a really, you went out last night with your friends and it was great or, you know, whatever it was. So do things in your personal life to keep balance in your life and that make you feel good and kind of keep you in a more positive mood, okay? So taking a break, identifying those job search strategies that you feel best about and that feel good for you. This is part of where the dream team comes in, too, where we're going to talk about getting support during your transition because part of what you need to tap into your friends and family for is to say, hey, I need motivation here because sometimes this job search stuff just sucks and I'm tired of it. And you need them to give you a pep talk or take you out to dinner or, you know, just go out for a drink or whatever it is. Okay, so find those things that feel best for you, but also create a support system here to keep you going. Stacey, did that help answer your question?
Yeah. Well, I've been very good at the taking breaks part and the going out with friends and having fun.
Okay.
I've got that one down.
So what do you need more of instead?
I think the tactic, like when I was looking for some jobs, I wrote down just some companies because there's so many different companies that I never knew of in the Atlanta area who have an international marketing department. And they, like I said, they're not currently hiring, but I just feel like I just needed some other tactic besides just looking at these online job boards and sending your resume in. You know, and a lot of times they're like, please don't call us. So I feel like it's really hard to follow up with it.
Yep. Okay. So let's go into these specific steps so that you can beef up your plan. Okay. So this goes for everybody here. The first thing I suggest you do, So, Stacey, you're feeding right into what I wanted to say. So, thank you very much. You're doing great. I'll send you your money later. So, the first thing you guys need to do is create a job search schedule, okay? And the best way I find to do this is have an Excel spreadsheet. I do not like Excel, guys, okay? So, for me to say this is a big deal. Have an Excel spreadsheet just because it's easier, and you've got, you know, your week planned out, and you've got your different strategies or tactics as tabs in Excel. So online job boards, networking events, online networking, association meetings, you know, create those as tabs at the bottom. But give yourself a schedule, okay? And, Stacey, this I think is good for you because you said you need more of this, you know, I need to be doing more. And so the best way to do this is to think about, like, okay, what do you want to do each week and each month? And you can even think about it as, okay, on Mondays I do X. You know, Tuesdays and Thursdays maybe I search online for an hour, and then I try to go to 2 networking events each month or something like that. Set up some goals for yourself and schedule in within, you know, like knowing that you guys have jobs here and you also have a life, what time can you carve out of each week to work on your job search? And what are you going to be doing on different days? You know, is it, okay, I'm going to work on Tuesdays and Thursdays on my job search for 2 hours each. Maybe you decide, okay, it's Tuesday and on a Saturday in the morning or something like that. But set some specific goals for yourself. Don't just say, I want to go to networking events. Say, I want to go to 2 a month. Does that make sense? Any questions about it? You've heard that old saying, you know, make it your job to find a job. And again,
my dad has said that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that annoys the crap out of me, too, because I'm like, whatever, but it's true.
Yeah.
The thing is that, you know, for people who are already working full-time, you have to find the time to do it. I don't have some magic bullet for you. There's no magic wand here. You just have to say, okay, given the time I have available to spend, you know, after hours, what am I willing to carve out? And you just got to find it. And you have to be systematic about it. That will make you feel better, that you know I have these specific goals. This is what I want to accomplish. You're going to feel better about it because you're checking things off the list. Instead of all of these ideas are floating around in your head and they're not on paper anywhere, that just doesn't work. It's not effective. Okay, so this goes for everybody. Have a specific schedule for yourself. So let's talk about briefly resume and cover letters because we've talked about this before already. Remember that with resume and cover letters, when you're in career transition and you're trying to move into a different industry, use the functional resume style instead of chronological. Remember, it's more about focusing on what experience and skills are relevant to the job as opposed to listing your jobs by chronological date order. Remember to always focus on your accomplishments and the impact you had in an organization, not just your duties. And with a resume, I always like to have one template resume that I don't touch and that I create all my other resumes for different jobs from. So you've got one sample template, and you work off of that. Because inevitably, guys, you're going to have to make small changes or tweaks for every job you apply for. But the thing is, if you have one solid resume that is written well and you feel really good about, it is so much easier to apply for a lot of jobs because all you have to do is change or tweak things, and it takes about 5 minutes. I did this the other day. My husband was doing it, and I helped him out. He's got a great resume and cover letter, and all he had to do was change a few of the things and, you know, word things a little bit differently, and that was it. Any questions on revising your resume?
Allie, what is your opinion on, like, say, objective statement on the resume?
You know, I've heard people say both, that it's a good thing and a bad thing. I think it's stupid.
You think it's stupid?
Yeah, I really do. I like the resumes that clearly state at the beginning not what you're wanting, but who you are as a person and why you're cool, so to speak. I like the ones that have, like, executive summary, you know, professional profile. These are the, this is what you could call that, the very beginning of your resume. This is my professional profile. Boom, boom, boom. Seasoned, experienced marketing expert with 10 years of experience in marketing and communication strategy. I like that better than an objective. I think it's much more powerful and compelling because other people know what your objective is. So I will say, though, Michael, branching off of what you said, you guys do need to have a quote-unquote elevator speech, which includes your objective, okay? And this is further down on my list, but I'll say it now. What I mean by this is when you're going to networking events or you're doing informational interviews, you need to be able to articulate to people what you're looking for. And so this is, Michael, where the objective could come in handy. Don't put it on your resume necessarily. Have it in your head so that when you are going to talk to people, you can tell them what you're looking for. People can't help you if they don't know what you're looking for. Does that make sense? We're going to talk about that more in just a second, okay? So that's where I think an objective can come in handy. Not on the resume necessarily, but in your head or even in an email to somebody who, you know, you want to do an informational interview with. I'm looking for blah. And you need to have it be concise and to the point.
The goal is, like, on mine right now is, you know, I got that, my adjustable part of my resume is that objective where, you know, I'm not just stating what I'm looking for, but I'm kind of stating in one sentence or less, you know, what I can bring to the, what I will bring to that position.
Yeah, well, that's good. Then I wouldn't call it an objective, though, because that sounds like more of a professional profile or something, or professional summary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it, you know, like, I'm fixing to go to the post office today for a small credit union in Athens for the actual president position.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put, you know, a president position, you know, with a credit union where I can, you know, initiate innovative ideas and things like that. That's what I put as the objective, is like what I geared it towards the job description that they were offering.
Okay. Well, Michael, I think this is kind of a subjective thing. I mean, again, if it were me, and I know this is more work for you, but if it were me, I would want to change it to be like professional profile and to use what you already have written, but turn it into this is what I bring to the table, instead of what I'm looking for. So you see what I mean? Because,
yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, people already know what your objective is because you're applying for their job.
Yeah.
So, I really think, I don't think there's any bad answer here. I do not think that just because you have an objective on your resume, it's going to get thrown in the trash. By no means am I saying that. I personally am the resume writer that I use that I like the best out of the people that I work with. She never uses an objective. She always has an executive summary or a professional profile at the top.
Is that just, the key word that I've been hearing even all the way through my...
I know. Well, and that's the thing. So if you feel good about it, Michael, and you like what it says and it speaks to who you are, I think it's fine to leave it. There's nothing wrong with it. But I would say make sure that within that you're tooting your horn here. You know, you're telling them why you're qualified for the job. That's the only thing I would say. Go ahead and leave it, but make sure that you explain to them because you want them to see that first. This is why I'm applying. This is why I'm qualified. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I just need to switch it over to a career profile, but my resume is already going on over into two pages, because
two-page
resume. I've had it in one for so long.
I know. Get over that, because that's for more.
The font was 10. The font was like 9 and 10, which some people might not be able to see that. So I bumped up the font to, you know, make sure that they could, you know, see it.
Yeah.
To 11 and 12, and then that's when it ran over to two pages. So I guess what I need to do is take out the objective and throw in create a dynamic professional profile.
Yep.
Because then I have my qualifications and skills, which goes over just, you know, a lot of key things that are either in the job description, and then I have my work experience.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good to me. And then if you want to send it to me, I'll take a look at it.
All right.
Okay. But I think that makes sense. All right. Any other thoughts on resume, cover letter? All right. So I want to kind of keep moving here so I give you guys all this info if I can. Okay, so with this whole online job hunting, this is one tactic to take. It is not the one that you guys should rely on. There was an interview on CNN yesterday, and the woman said, and it was exactly right, do not rely on only one job search tactic. Don't rely on just one thing. You've got to do several things because you don't know what is going to, you know, pop for you and really pan out and help. So what I suggest for people with this online job hunting and looking for open positions, it's okay to start with the big job boards when you're trying to get some high-level ideas, like what the positions are called, what companies have, say, international marketing or nutrition and wellness. But then try to identify smaller industry-specific job boards as well, because those are easier to navigate, and there's a lot less crap on those than there is on Monster and Career Builder, because there's a lot of crap on those big ones to wade through. So start to, like, so for Stacy, for you, marketing, you know, job boards that are specific to the marketing industry.
Yeah.
And also look at local job boards as well, like AJC Jobs, like AtlantaJobs.com is another one here in Atlanta. Those are easier to navigate, and they're going to have less crap. So the way to find these more industry-specific boards, job boards, is look at the associations for your industry. Contact those associations if you need to find out. Look on the association websites, because a lot of times they'll have either their own listing of job openings or they'll direct you to websites that have job openings. And do a keyword. You can even do a Google search using specific keywords to find local job boards and ones focused for your industry. Okay? Those are just so much better and more worth your time. By the way, since government is a really big you know, government's growing, obviously, with the stimulus package and all of that. It's the government site is usajobs.com, and you never know what might be on there. Okay, remember that Paul talked about Indeed.com, so just so you guys know, LinkedIn and Indeed.com also have good job postings, and they, I don't know about LinkedIn, but Indeed, I know, lets you set up a search, and they'll email you specific job postings, but you don't get as much crap from them because they let you more narrowly focus what you're looking for. So Indeed and LinkedIn are two places to look for positions. And then also keep in mind, and this is something that a client was talking to me about the other day, remember that, like, okay, so say Starbucks or something, like big companies, sometimes, you know, they'll have regional offices, but they might not always post jobs for those regional offices. They just might post a job opening, but they won't say where it is. So if you're searching and, you know, you're interested in one of these bigger companies, realize that even though they might not list Atlanta, Georgia, they may have some openings in Atlanta, and it might still be worth applying within what you're looking for, okay? Because you never know. And Starbucks is an example. Like, my husband was, he looked on their site, and they're looking for interior architects, And sure, most of them are based in Seattle, but he knows someone at his old firm that worked in a Southeast regional office in Atlanta. So he went ahead and applied for some of these, thinking that, well, maybe, you know, they'll have an opening in Atlanta. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Two things that are kind of similar is temp agencies and recruiters. Okay. So I bring temp agencies up not because I'm saying go get some office temp work, but sometimes, but I think you really have to cast your net wide here, and sometimes temp agencies, especially industry-specific ones, will have positions that are temp to perm, where a lot of places may want to hire somebody, but they want to kind of do it on a trial basis. If you decide you want to look into this route of temporary or placement agencies, you need to find ones that are reputable and check out, okay, do they work with people in your industry? And I suggest finding, like, one local one that's, you know, like Paces Personnel is a good one here in Atlanta. These are listed on my website under Career Resources. Paces Personnel is good and Agilon is good. And I personally think, I'm not saying you have to go in there and take their test and go through the whole thing. I think it's worth at least reaching out to them and saying, look, you know, do you ever have temp to perm positions or permanent positions in the marketing industry, for example, or in government, whatever it is? Because it's worth at least submitting your resume to them. You never know. Okay. Any questions on that? What do you guys think about that idea? Because I know it might sound kind of weird at first.
I think if I didn't have a job, it would be great.
Yeah.
But going from a full-time job to potentially pursuing a temp agency for temporary work, it scares me a little bit. But I do have a friend up in Charlotte that got it. Pretty good career from starting out as a temp worker.
Okay, so this is a really good point, Michael, and this is where you have to weigh the risks.
College degree or anything.
Wow. Okay, so this is where you have to weigh the risks, and I agree. Do not, like, you don't want to do this unless there's a really good chance that you'll get hired and you need to find out more about that. And also know, too, though, that some temp agencies, sometimes they will get full-time placement positions that come across their desk. And that's why I say, you know, it's worth it, because they're talking to employers all the time, right, to place people. So you just never know. But you do. Like, I wouldn't suggest taking a temp to perm thing unless you were able to take the risk, say financially, or it was such a good job and you found out, you know, like you really pumped them for information and said, look, what is the percentage? What's the likelihood that I'll be hired? And then that's when you have to decide whether you would take it or not. So good. I'm glad you said that, because that's the big thing here. But you guys really have to try as many options as you can, because it's tough. And think about recruiters and temp agencies. Those are the people who are talking to employers all the time. And so you just never know, you know, what they might come across. All right, with recruiters. There's pros and cons to them. I mean, the pros are obviously they know what jobs are available and they have access to employers and open positions. The tough part is that they're usually not out for your best interest. They're usually out to make a commission and just put you in a job so they can get paid by the employer. But that doesn't mean that they're not worth it, okay? So the best thing to do is to try to find recruiters for your specific industry that either specialize in your industry or, you know, as one of their specialties. They work with a lot of marketing companies, for example, or credit unions or whatever it is, okay? In Atlanta specifically, Bell Oaks is a great recruiting firm. They tend to deal more with executive level, but it's still worth reaching out to them because even if they can't help you, they're the kind of firm that cares about the about you, the employee, and they can refer you to somebody else. You can also find recruiters on LinkedIn, and so I would suggest looking for recruiters there and connecting with them within your industry as well, okay? Usually local recruiters are better, but don't discount people who work with people nationwide because you never know, they might have some good jobs. The deal is with recruiters, you have to know what you want to do. They're not going to help you. They're not going to sit with you and say, well, I think I want to do finance, but I'm not sure. Like, you need to send them a resume and say, I'm looking for this kind of job. Boom. And frequently, if you really want to use this as a tactic, you have to stay on top of them. Because, again, they're kind of playing a numbers game where they, you know, just want to get people placed in jobs. And they may, I mean, they'll keep your resume in a database, but it's hard to know, you know, when it'll come up and how often. The things you can expect from a recruiter is, you know, helping you prepare for an interview with a specific company if they do think that you'd be a fit, and salary negotiations and those kinds of things. Okay. What do you guys think about recruiters? What would you say? Has anybody had experience with them? Okay, I'll take that.
One when I was just out of college.
Mm-hmm. And how was it for you, Stacy?
It was okay. I mean, he sent me on a job for like a sales position for some photocopying place. You know, I think it's probably if I knew better what I wanted to do, maybe he could have sent me on a more appropriate interview for something that I was interested in. And
right.
So
you do have to be really specific with them.
Yeah.
And let them know what you want. But there were.
Well, I mean, at the time, like, he got me the interview part, and I didn't have to.
Yeah.
I showed up at a certain time from the interview, and that was pretty nice.
Yeah, and that's the bonus. I mean, they're the people that know what jobs are out there. They know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they're worth checking into and at least sending your resume to, you know, two or three of them. Okay? So that's recruiters. So this whole networking thing, there's the online and the in-person. So with the online networking, you know, we've got LinkedIn, and we've talked about that a little bit. And this is a big deal. I mean, the recruiter that I work with at Bell Oaks, she says, always recommends that people get on LinkedIn. End of story. Because this is part of that hidden job market where it's networking in just a different way, but you never know who's going to know about a position that is unadvertised. Mm-hmm. So the best, hold on, I've got some stuff here about Twitter, and I'm not really sure about Twitter right now, so I don't even want to go there. But, it's kind of goofy. So with LinkedIn, you want to make sure that your profile is very complete and public. So make sure you fill out everything on LinkedIn that they ask you to, and make sure that it's public because that's how you're found. You need to build your network because the more people you know, the more doors can open up for you. So start with friends and family, coworkers, whoever else, and then start to invite people that you either meet at networking events or you did an informational interview with or that you would like to be connected to, and you can send them a message. Like, this could be one way to get informational interviews. Send them a message. Say, I'd like to do an informational interview. You know, can we connect, and can we talk on the phone for a few minutes? And then the last thing with LinkedIn is use keywords in your profile because that will help recruiters and headhunters find you. So international marketing, nutrition and wellness, you know, credit union professional, whatever it is, use keywords. because if people are looking for, if recruiters are looking for people on LinkedIn, they're going to type in those keywords and find you.
Can I add one more thing to that, Hallie?
Please.
I've been looking at the job boards on LinkedIn, and they're pretty good, and some of them, they'll have, like, this is an exclusive only on LinkedIn job, but they also say on there people with referrals, because I don't know who other people on this call, if they have a LinkedIn page, but the people who you're friends with or people that you worked with, they can write a little referral about you. And on all of, when you apply for a job on LinkedIn, I've seen at the bottom there, they say people who have referrals have, like, priority, or it's highly encouraged for those profiles to have those on it than people who don't have any referrals written on them.
Yes, that's good. Thank you. I've seen someone have a referral from LinkedIn on their resume, like a testimonial,
yeah.
So to speak. So, yeah, it's a whole new world. So build, in addition to that, build your referrals. Ask people to write a referral that you've worked with or whatever, something short and sweet, but it helps. It makes a difference. So real quick with the in-person networking, remember that the ways or places to do this are local associations for your industry. Chamber of Commerce is something. Job searching, you know, networking events through a church, through, there were several companies that actually hosted, like a carpet company, hosted a career fair for people in the interior design industry. And there's, you know, these career fairs out there as well as networking events. The only thing about these things, guys, and Stacy, this might have been what, you know, part of what you were saying too, is when you go to these things, a lot of times it's a bunch of unemployed people, right? And so you need to be, like, go to a networking event and assess whether this one is going to be worth it for you to keep going to. Don't just keep going kind of blindly. So you want to try to see if, okay, to this networking event, recruiters actually show up, and that's good. To this one, employers show up, and that's even better. So you want to be smart about, okay, what are the right networking events to go to? Because if you just keep going to, say, a church, and everybody's unemployed, that doesn't help as much. You still never know, but you guys have limited time, okay? And when you do this, the in-person networking, this just goes back to the elevator speech, you want to be able to state what you want and who you are quickly and clearly. And I'm going to send you an example of an elevator speech that I came up with a client that he uses and feels really good about, so that you need to be able to very quickly with somebody in an event say, here's what I do, who I am, you know, the value I bring, and this is what I'm looking for. So there's two basic pieces. So the first piece, this is the best way to think about it. The first piece is your elevator speech, and here's his real quick. I help government agencies and private companies navigate through the environmental compliance minefield. He's an environmental engineer and consultant. And then the second piece is your objective. I'm looking for an organization with a diverse clientele, involvement with a variety of project types, government and private industry, and professional development opportunities. He can go to events and he can spit this out, and people know how they can help him. Are you guys with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll send this to you so you can look at it and think about it. The last thing, which kind of falls into networking, is the informational interviews that we've already talked about. So when you go to these networking events, this is a place where you could find people to do informational interviews with. Okay? Don't go into informational interviews with the intention of getting a job. Set the intention to make connections and get information. Okay? You might get a job out of it, and that would be wonderful. But it comes across as too pushy if you're trying to do that. And the same thing goes for networking events and online networking. Set the intention or goal to, I want to connect with this many people tonight, or whatever it is. Not going there, I want to find a job from this. Because then your energy and approach will be totally different. Okay, so hopefully this should give you guys a little bit more breadth of tactics to be using. the temp agencies, the recruiters, the different types of networking, so you don't feel like you're just sitting in front of your computer looking on these job boards, because you need to do much more than that and spread it out and do, you know, follow up with more tactics, okay? That made me think of, Stacey, you were talking about following up. It is harder these days to follow up on jobs that you've applied for because of so many times they don't want you to contact them. If they tell you not to, you really can't. I mean, because you're gonna, you're not following the rules and you're gonna piss them off. So the best, I think, I mean, I like the idea of, you know, doing an informational interview with somebody in the company or try to network with some people there or meet them at events or something like that. You don't follow up, you know, if they say not to. If they don't say that, you need to follow up. And once about every week to 10 days is what people typically recommend. And the recruiter I spoke to, she said like 5 times, following up to 5 times, which I was kind of surprised. I thought that was a lot, but you need to be.
Did you say like how soon after you submit a resume is appropriate time to follow up?
Yeah, between 7, I'd say give it like 7 business days, about a week.
Okay.
So take the business days out of it. Like if you applied on Thursday, I'd say like follow up the next Thursday.
Do you think maybe by phone or by email again? Or
I like to do both.
Yeah.
Do both at first. Then the next week, follow up with, say, an email. The week after, follow up with phone. Then start to rotate. And you can say to them, you know, if you're going to leave a message or before you call, be prepared with what you want to say, because you don't want to, like, leave a voicemail where it sounds like you're fumbling around. That's embarrassing. So prepare what you want to say in case you get a voicemail or a live person. And you can, you know, ask them questions. Say, you know, I just wanted to follow up, and, I sent my resume on this date, wanted to follow up and make sure you received it. Great. Could you tell me what the next steps are or a time frame? You know, and if you get a good rapport with this person, you could even say, look, hey, I don't want to be a pest, but I'm just wondering what the next steps are and what I should expect. So asking things like that, what are the next steps? What's the process here? What's the time frame? That will give you a sense of how and when to follow up, and they may even give you some guidance. Look, I've got 50 resumes I'm wading through, and I'm going out of town next week, so why don't you call me in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think the Excel spreadsheet would be helpful, too, because sometimes when I submit to so many different jobs, I don't even remember what I submitted to. I don't remember what day I sent it to them.
Oh, yeah.
So looking at Excel spreadsheet, it's more helpful to know what day to, you know, to keep track of. I'm going to follow with them on next Tuesday, or I left a voicemail on so-and-so's machine or something like of that nature.
Yep, that's what you need to do. You need to be really specific and track everything because it can get really confusing. And then you forget, well, John referred me to Nancy, and then Nancy referred me to Bob. And you need to know that stream because if you, you know, once you follow up with Bob, you need to say to him, hey, well, I even just, with John, hey, thanks for the referral to Nancy. She referred me to somebody else. You need to keep track of that because it's embarrassing not to know names. It's happened to me before.
Yeah.
So, exactly. It's better to keep it organized. It's less stress for you.
Yeah, I think I remember I used to follow up. I just haven't been in the job search in a while, but I would always usually follow up with interviews. And that's even how I got employed at my current place, by continuing to follow up and her just being like, oh, I meant to call you. Yeah, we'd like to hire you, you know.
Right.
So, but I don't do it so much with just the blind sending out my email. I haven't done that as much.
Yeah. Go ahead and do it unless they tell you not to.
Yeah.
There's some story that a client told me about a guy who got hired at a library because he came and bugged them like every week or two for a couple of months or something. And I'm not saying be a stalker, but it was just an interesting, you know, like they said, look, this guy's persistent. You know, if he's going to be this way in his work, that's a good thing. So I think you can err on the side of being more persistent than you realize because half the time people are just busy and they haven't thought about this. It may feel like a really long time to you because you're on the other end of the stick, but they've got jobs to do. They're working. And a week can go by like that. And like you just said, Stacy, oh, I meant to call you, but I forgot. That happens all the time. Mm-hmm. So the follow-up is good. All right, so let's talk about getting support during your transition, the people on your dream team. And this is one of the things to think about for next week, for our last call. So I'm just going to tell you, these are the types of things that you need help with in your career transition. And so you guys need to think individually for yourself what you need the most help with. Is it, I need cheerleading and motivation. Is it, I need accountability, okay? So the things I typically see people need, they need feedback. Hey, does this make sense? How does my resume look? You know, should I say this? Feedback is always helpful. Advice kind of goes along with feedback. Do you think I should call them today or tomorrow? Accountability is another thing that people need help with. Sticking to the plan. Are you working the plan? Have you taken your action steps? Accountability is huge. The cheerleading. Hey, keep going. You can do it. It'll work out. So cheerleading and remaining positive. Another one is a good dose of reality sometimes, because sometimes we are, I don't know, like maybe we're applying for a job that there's no way we're going to get it with our experience and that kind of thing, and we need to look at, you know, a position one step down. So sometimes we need somebody to say, you know what, realistically, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you should take this other step. And the other two things would be somebody to help you think creatively and out of the box with either job search tactics or job ideas. And the last one is to help you learn about resources. Resources at your disposal, associations that you could join, networking events you could go to. Now, so looking at this list, guys, is there anything else you think you need that we haven't put down here? Besides maybe booze, access to booze, Michael, for you. Anything else you can think of? Are you mumbling or talking to somebody else?
That would be me mumbling right now.
All right, so...
I would throw in there listening, maybe.
Great. Ooh, I love that. I missed that one.
Active listening.
Yes. I love it. So active listening or even just passive listening when you need to vent.
Yes.
And bitch and moan, yeah, because sometimes we need to just get it off our chest. Good. So what I want you to do for next time, wait, let me step back here. I want you to think about who you can get help from in these areas. So first, identify the, say, top three areas that you need the most help. I need listening the most. I need feedback the most, whatever it is. And then I want you to think about people you can tap and ask for help with this. Okay, so... ideas would be, obviously, friends, family, coworkers, if they know that you're looking and can keep it quiet. A networking buddy. Maybe you meet somebody at a networking event and you're both looking and you want to kind of partner up. A mentor in your field. Like, Stacy, you met that woman who was so great and really...
Yeah, she's really helpful.
So she could be something that you tap into, you know, hey, when I need motivation or whatever, you can identify what that would be.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously coaches like me help you with that too, okay? So for next week, come up with top three things you need help with, who you can tap into for help with those things, and a plan for reaching out to them and, you know, asking for the help that you need, which could just be, you know, picking up the phone, sending an email. It doesn't have to be complicated, okay? A key point here with asking with working with a dream team for your transition is you have to be specific about what you need help with. Don't assume they can read your mind. Okay? You need to say, you know what, I'm going to go through ups and downs here. I need some cheerleading and motivation. This is what I want you to say to me. Okay? We're getting close to time here, and I want to read you guys something that a client who I finished up with several months ago sent to me, because it gives you some learning, I think. So here's what she said. She sent me an email. After we finished our sessions, I kept dragging my feet on applying to school. It was funny because at first telling people about my ideal career kind of scared me. But the more people I told, the more excited I got about it, and then got to the point where I wanted to blurt it out to everyone I saw. Everyone is so excited for me. I definitely have days where I'm unsure about things and my demons rear their ugly heads, but I'm much better about recognizing and dealing with those now and accepting that I'll have down days. Hope things are going well with you. Thanks again for working with me. I haven't felt this happy and excited and inspired in a long time. So she's talking about, you know, sharing with people and how it has helped her. And also about, you know, getting the support, because at the beginning she said when we were finished, she dragged her feet. And it's been months that I finished with this girl. So she spent several months not doing anything. So this is why whether you do the sustainability group with me or something else, this is why the support is so important, guys. So whatever you decide to do, I want you to get support, because it's real easy to fall off the horse and get frustrated. And notice how where she said that, you know, she got so excited, and then when she started to tell other people, they were excited for her, and that helped build the momentum. So this is why that support is so important. Any questions or comments on that? I thought it was so perfect. I wanted to share it with you guys because it's exactly the place that you're in is, you know, taking these action steps and doing it. Okay. So, homework. Number one is finalize your plan for your job search strategy and your schedule based on all the things that we talked about today. So decide what you want to be doing and focusing on, and come up with your plan for the next 3 months and the rest of the year and put it in Excel. That's number one. And number two is the plan for getting support that we talked about, the top three things you need help with and who you can get help with from them. You know what I meant. I didn't say that right. Let's go around the room really quickly. Just tell me the biggest thing you guys are taking away, and then we'll close. We're talking again next week. So, Angie, how about you? You were quiet today. Angie, are you still with us? Okay, she might be on mute. So, Michael, let's go to you.
List and to create a career profile.
Okay, great. Stacy.
I wanted to mention one more thing just briefly as far as networking. I don't know if people have ever looked at the website. It's called meetup.com, and there's a huge variety of different groups on there, and you can find specialized things maybe in areas that you're interested in. But also, as far as I'm taking away from this, I think maybe really doing some more networking and, you know, it made me think of some people that I haven't even reached out to that I should reach out to. And also, when I've gone to some of these networking events, I don't think I've utilized them correctly or to my advantage with being, you know, very having some short, sweet sort of message of why I'm there. I think I've just gone into it more of just being friendly and like a politician sort of thing than really trying to get something out of it, but not in a pushy way.
Yes.
So I think maybe coming up with, say, a short, like an elevator thing, like you were saying, networking, and then definitely getting out that Excel spreadsheet. And I took a lot out of this one, out of this phone call, and following up with some of these resumes that I'm allowed to follow up with as well. So,
okay, perfect. All right, awesome, guys. Great talking to you. Have a great day.